Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. In Massachusetts, it's a rare thing to see a woman on a construction site. Women accounted for only 5% of construction work hours in Boston in 2015. In fact, when Janaea Pina Nelson started working construction 18 years ago, this was the reaction she got from some of the men around her.
The guys were like, why don't you just become a model instead? I'm like, what? Why? I want to do this.
Well, there's an effort currently underway to bring more women into the construction industry. Joining me now with the story is Shira Springer. She's an investigative reporter for the Boston Globe, and her new piece in the Globe magazine is called Why Women Are Finally Starting to Get Construction Jobs in Massachusetts. Shira, it's always great to see you.
Good to be here.
Also with us is Elizabeth Skidmore, carpenter and co-founder of the Policy Group on Trades Women's Issues. She's also a business representative and organizer for the New England Regional Council of Carpenters. Liz, welcome to Radio Boston.
Glad to be here.
Okay, so Shira, start us off. Why are women only feeling 5% of work hours, construction work hours in
Boston? Oh, well, where do we start? I mean, part of it is cultural. There are these entrenched sexist attitudes in the construction business. Part of it is also there needs to be more encouragement of women getting into the trade. So PGTI is working on that. The Trades Women's Group is working on that. Also, there needs to be more education of project owners, of subcontractors, of those people who hire the workers, that women are out there and that they can do the job. So it's a case of training. It's a case of combating some cultural and social biases. And that's the bulk of it.
Well, and how do we compare versus nationally? Is it the same in terms of work hours for women nationally in construction? Or
we actually do quite well. I mean, Massachusetts...
5% as well. Okay.
Well, Massachusetts, yeah. In terms of employing women in the trades and bringing women into trade apprenticeships, is among the leaders when you look across the country at other states. And that's in large part, maybe exclusively, due to the work done by PGTI.
Okay, well, in terms of apprenticeships, you write in your Globe magazine piece that last year trades women filled more than 6% of apprentice positions in trade. That's up from what, 2.5 roughly in 2012?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. So Liz, let's talk with you for a little bit, because I'd love to actually hear the story of how you got into carpentry and construction.
Well, I'm a little bit unusual perhaps in that I went to college, and as I was getting close to graduating, you know, as a 22-year-old, I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do. And as far as I could tell, all adults did was complain about their jobs all day long. And I was trying to figure out if there was some way to do something that actually felt satisfying, that I would look forward to doing when I went to work in the morning, feel good at the end of the day. And I realized I loved the idea of an experience of working with my hands. I wanted to do something that sort of pushed the envelope a little bit about what women were supposed to do. I feel like, you know, building is very honorable work. It's very basic human honorable work.
Yeah.
And so for all those reasons, I decided I wanted to become a carpenter. And
were you welcomed into that world?
More than you might expect.
Okay.
Excuse me. I'm tall and I'm white, and those two things helped me enormously. And I have a good attitude. I'll jump into stuff. I'm not afraid to, you know, try stuff and make mistakes and figure it out and clean it up. And I really wanted to do this. So those things made a huge, huge difference.
Did you see other women on the job sites early in your career?
Some, not a lot. You know, if in 28 years ago, if you were a woman in construction, you were almost always the only woman wherever you went, which is part of why my kind of part-time unpaid side job for most of the last 28 years has been trying to bring more women into the trades. Huh. It's been a fantastic career for me, and I want more women to know this is a real opportunity.
Well, hang on there for just a second, because listeners, we want to hear from you. If you're in construction now, male or female, I mean, do you see women on the work sites? Do you see enough women? And if not, how do we bring more women into the construction industry? What has your experience been? Call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can also send us a tweet at Radio Boston. So before we get into these efforts to bring more women into the construction industry, I just want to sort of talk with both of you a little bit more about the nature of the work and what makes it such good work today, and especially for women? I mean, Shira, you talked about this in your piece.
Yeah, I mean, I think, first of all, this is a high-paying job, and you can have this high-paying job without a college degree. So on average, according to labor statistics, national labor statistics, construction workers earn per year $63,000, and they get tremendous benefits. So if you're, let's say, a single mother, and you're looking and you don't have a college degree, construction is a really, really good option, a better career path than, let's say, going to work for the fast food industry. There are all sorts of opportunities to really build a legitimate career, go from apprentice to journeywoman, and then onward and upward from there.
And for people who haven't been on a work site in a long time, I mean, what kind of range of skills are we talking about?
Well, there's a wide range of skills. There's 17 different trades. So you could become a carpenter, you could become an electrician, a plumber, and then some trades people haven't heard of so much, like millwright or pile driver or boilermaker. Each of these trades, one thing I think folks don't know is that you don't actually have to have tons of experience doing this. You need to convince the apprenticeship that you want this work, that you know what you're getting into. You have some kind of experience doing physical labor, playing sports. Anybody who's played sports is a good candidate for us. And here's the amazing thing. Most of the trades, it varies a little bit by trade, but starting salary for a first-year apprentice, which is the lowest rate, is around $20 an hour. Uh-huh. So to not know what you're doing and get paid $20 an hour, plus on top of that, health insurance and a pension. Like, who has access to a pension anymore? And most of us have other benefits. And then in addition, the training, the apprenticeship training that the unions offer is 3 to 5 years, depending on which trade you go into. And it's completely free. So we, the carpenters, spend $10,000 a year training our apprentices, and it is completely free to you.
This is amazing. I mean, given everything that you just said, Liz, what do you think are the biggest barriers right now to bringing women? Is it just that they don't know about these opportunities that are available, or there's a sense that maybe there is sexism in the industry, or all of the above?
I think it's all of the above. One of the things I say to people is when I was in college and I raised my hand and said something and the professor said, yeah, okay. And then a man said the exact same thing and the professor said, what an excellent point. That was confusing to me. I actually thought, well, maybe I didn't make as good of a point till I realized later actually I'd made the exact same point. For me, on a job site, I'm getting paid equal pay. Like nationally, women in construction and union construction, we make 93% of what men make. Versus the 79 cents or whatever it is that women in every other industry in the country make. So we may deal with guys who don't, you know, give us a hard time, but so do you in your job. I bet if we, you know, had a long conversation, there's sexism you deal with in your job.
to talk off the record.
But sure. Every career that every woman are in, but in the difference here, it's heavy physical work. We're outside, but we are getting really good wages and we are getting family sustaining benefits. And so I think the reason more women don't do it is people haven't said to girls or to adult women, this is an option. Yeah. And that there's training, there's real standardized training to teach you the trade you want to get into.
Sure, I want to ask you, though, because you write in your Globe magazine piece, you write about some of the problems that women on work sites face. I mean, from problematic subcontractors to entrenched...
the infamous core crew issue.
To entrenched sexist attitudes to the... I mean, this is real. The paucity of women's portable toilets on work sites.
We can start there if you like. You know, it's interesting. What we would think would be common sense on a construction site to have enough portable toilets. Men and women use separate portable toilets. The women's toilets are padlocked to keep them nice and neat and clean or cleaner.
Sometimes they are.
Sometimes they are. And so they have separate toilets on most work sites. And, you know, I went to a work site with a woman, Shara Noltsero, and she was telling me how basically they have women's portable toilets on the ground floor of her job site, but none on the subsequent floors, and she's in a high rise. So in every time
she's got to go all the way down to the ground floor.
And she said you would think it would be common sense to bring up a toilet for the women to maybe the fifth floor, the sixth floor, but it just isn't done. And I know it sounds a little bit silly as we're discussing it, but there are all these little things that happen on a job site or that can happen on a job site that might discourage women or keep women from sticking with the profession. I think you had Janaea on earlier, and she was talking to me about how men sometimes basically when she's assigned a task, they might almost literally take tools out of her hands and say, no, let me finish what you're doing, because they sort of lack confidence in her ability to do the job. But she's been a laborer for 18 years, so she knows what she's doing and she has the experience. And it's little things like that where, you know, you're just not quite getting the same experience as the men on the job site.
Liz, go ahead. But, we've actually got the lines are full. People have a lot to say about this.
I just want to say one thing. I think, you know, yes, there's sexism in construction. Absolutely. But I also do want to say it happens in every industry. And what is interesting to me on the question of why are women out is what's working now that women are coming in. So, for example, in 2012, we had 180 female apprentices in the building trades in Massachusetts. That was 4.2% of all apprentices, building trades apprentices. Today, we have 433.
Oh, so
we went from 180 to 433, and also grew our percentage-wise because the industry grew, came out of the recession. But we grew our percentage to 6.3%. And I do just want to mention that 6.7% of those are union women, women in unions, and only 2.13% are women in non-union apprenticeships. But so what has happened in those years? The key thing is for 40 years after the President Carter set goals in 1978 for women on construction sites, almost all the work that was done on the supply side. We want to get more women in, let's recruit them or train them, recruit them, train them. So right now there's tens of thousands of women all over the country who were recruited and trained but didn't get consistent work and so left the trade. So what PGTI has collectively, the group of us, have figured out is the supply side is a key piece of this, but by itself it's a failed strategy. We had to add demand work. And so the demand, we've got multiple pieces to it, but it's really about expanding the number of owners who have commitments to a diverse workforce and making them more effective. And we've written a how-to manual. We've got a whole model of it. But that demand piece is critical.
The work has to be created for them. I mean, or in terms of the jobs. People want to have to hire them. Well, you just heard Liz Skidmore. She's a carpenter and co-founder of the Policy Group on Tradeswomen's Issues, and also Shira Springer, who is investigative and enterprise reporter for the Boston Globe. Shira's piece in the Globe magazine is called Why Women Are Finally Starting to Get Construction Jobs in Massachusetts. And I threw out the phone number, which is 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK, and wanted to know if people had a thought about this. And lo and behold, many
lots
of them
of
do. So let's go to Nate, who's calling from Weymouth. You're on the air, Nate.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. What's your thought?
I was just calling to say I got into construction in the mid-90s, you know, I weld pipe, fit and weld pipe, and there wasn't really any women doing it then, and now I see quite a few women doing it in welding and fitting, and I think they do just as good as the men. In fact, some of the welders I've seen are the best welders because they're like, women seem to be more detail oriented, and the work that I do is a lot of stainless work, and it's real detail oriented work, and women just have a good eye for it. And I was just on this job in Hyde Park, and this girl, well, she's not a girl, she's a woman, she's like in her early 30s, maybe. She had her own business, and she had two guys. Her husband and her husband's brother worked for her, and they were from Wisconsin, but it's not, like, normal to see that. Like, that was a big deal, but when I first got into it, you would have never seen that.
Right.
You know?
Nate, thank you so much for your call. I really appreciate it. And Shira, you want to jump in here?
Yeah, I was going to say that was something I actually heard from the women with PGTI, which is when I asked, you know, make the business case to me for hiring more women. And they said, well, first of all, when you have more women on your job site, they often promote a cleaner, safer workplace. And I think hearing from the caller, they also may be in some ways better suited to some of the jobs and the tasks on work sites too, when they are more detailed oriented. And I like the fact that he thinks they might even do a better job.
Well, let's get another perspective here. Jay is calling from Concord. You're on the air, Jay.
Hey, how are you guys doing today?
Great. What's your thought?
Okay, a couple things. Number one, I'm a developer, a small developer, and I have an MBA, and I started in banking, learned to drive the machines, did everything. I do not hire union workers. I'm sorry, I just can't afford it. I don't have that going for me. I will say one thing. I agree that women will be much more detail-oriented, and I'll say that I've met multiple women electricians that have done a phenomenal job, especially with the Cat 6 and specific wiring that we need. Also, I'd say that women make terrific project managers, but I will say that there is generally, I'd say 90% of the time, there is the factor that women are physically, and I'm not going to say less capable, they have different physical capabilities and et cetera than most of the guys that are laborers, et cetera. This is just something I've found in doing this for 12 years, building and developing. But again, we're not unions, so it's a little bit different.
Yeah, Jay, I'm gonna take it back from you there, and I don't mean to cut you off because I really do appreciate your perspective, but I just wanted to give Liz Skidmore a chance to respond to that.
Well, you know, as much as I like the first caller saying that, you know, women have a better eye for detail and sometimes do a better job, I actually think I'm nervous on both sides, saying women are better, women are worse. Women are people, women are workers. Some of us are incredibly strong, some of us not so much. Some of us are good problem solvers, some of us are better at just give me, you know, let me like frame, you know, 300 feet of wall, just let me put my head down and work. I am bigger than most men, you know, I'm almost 6 foot tall. There's other women who are my height, and there's other women who are much stronger than me. So I think the truth is there's a wide range of strengths, both with women. I've worked with a man who was a professional jockey. You know, there were limits to, you know, what he could leverage as that size person.
Yeah.
And what my experience has been is that any good foreman learns to maximize the skills of his crew. So you might have a young bull who can, you know, wrench the heavy thing, and then you might have an older guy who doesn't have the physical strength but has incredible know-how and skill at sort of outsmarting challenges that come up.
Well,
on the
so every team benefits from a smart leader.
Right.
I want to get one more call in here. Gosh, there are so many. Karen's calling from Melrose. You're on the air, Karen.
Hi. So I am an interior designer, and I have a business partner that's a master plumber and general contractor, and it's a woman, and she's fantastic. And there are other plumbers. She was brought up by a general contractor who said, hey, you want to be a master plumber or a general contractor? I'll teach you everything I know, and you can go as far as you want to go. You can do whatever you want to do. And she's amazing. And he has another woman plumber that works for him now, too, and we have a woman painter and a woman builder that helps out sometime with finished carpentry. And he says he loves it because the men are the ones calling up crying and complaining about so-and-so hurt his feelings and this and that, and he stepped on your toes. Where women, we just get to it. Like, what do you want me to do? All right, no problem. Got it.
Karen, thank you so very much for your call.
I have to add that, you know, have you ever heard the expression about women gossiping? You have never been on a construction site.
There's no time for it.
Oh, well, no. The men gossip like you would not believe.
Well, sure. There's another question I want to ask you because Liz was telling us earlier about the policy group on tradeswomen's issues working to make both the supply and demand side of the equation draw more women into the business, into the construction industry. But I'm wondering about policy and the city of Boston because there's an ordinance, right? The Boston residents job policy. It's been in place for decades to try to get
10%. Yeah,
10% of all
hours.
Yeah,
yes, yeah. I mean, that's been in place, and I think the other part of the demand side here, so to speak, is that you have to have administrative support, for example. And I think, you know, the numbers on projects in Boston have been better in terms of work hours, and they've been more compliant with the Boston residents jobs policy because the Walsh administration has been better about emphasizing it, encouraging contractors, encouraging project owners to follow that ordinance. So I think what you see here is there are so many moving parts to make, you know, to get women into the trades, to have them stay in there, and to have, you know, it all ascend to the goal of PGTI, which is to have 20% of women in the 20% of workers in the trades in Massachusetts be the number be at 20% by 2020.
So
a lot of 20s.
We are flat out of time here, but I'm going to eke a couple seconds out because Liz, I wanted to ask you about that goal. I mean, it seems like perhaps that is doable, especially since we're in a construction boom right now. Do you worry that the momentum could tail off if the work itself starts shrinking when the boom starts fading?
Well, that's actually exactly why we're going for 20% by 2020, because we started planning this during the recession and people thought we were crazy because there wasn't work, and we said, look, we got to get the pieces in place, so we had our shoulder to the door when things opened up. We now have our shoulder to the door. The industry absolutely is cyclical, So we want to get to 20% so that in the next bust, which will come at some point, hopefully not for a while, but that we drop down to 10%, not back to 2%.
Well, Liz Skidmore is a carpenter and co-founder of the Policy Group on Trades Women's Issues. Thank you so very much for joining us.
Thank you.
And Shira Springer, investigative reporter for the Boston Globe, whose Globe magazine piece is Why Women Are Finally Starting to Get Construction Jobs in Massachusetts. We'll link to it at radioboston.org. Given that Liz said that women who like sports are perfect for construction, I'm wondering what your next job is
going to be. I think I might
be
a little on the short side. She's 6 feet. I'm 5'2".
So. You absolutely can do it.
The plumbers are out to be all that tall.
You're taller than the jockey.
Okay, well,
thank you, Shira. We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.